Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome into Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. A Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Hopefully you guys had a wonderful holiday. Pete, you were in yesterday hanging out with Earl. We appreciate that. And it's good to be back in the saddle with you today.
Merry Christmas, my friend. And, you know, when you have a kid at Christmas, did it seem any different?
Yeah, it was a lot more fun. Look, she's so young. She's 9 months as of yesterday that she didn't know anything that was going on. From a presence standpoint, we wrapped a couple of things and let her kind of pull at the paper, what have you. It's fun, though, to just see the couple of times she got really excited for a toy that makes noise. And it's also cool to take her to my parents, see them light up. You know, my wife's parents and just seeing all the her little cousins and, you know, our siblings and whatnot. It was a good couple of days, and it definitely changes the game a little bit, no doubt. How was your holiday?
Fantastic. Beauty for us is my in-laws live a mile and a half down the road.
Oh, you can't beat that.
I got no travel issues. I get great food at the other end of it for breakfast and dinner in the same day. What's not to like?
That is the dream. We didn't have to make long trips. I say that, though, to tell you we went to KG. I was in King George, and that's, you know, an hour and 15, hour 20. And from there we go to Orange, which is an hour and 10 or so from King George. So we bounced around Virginia, but it was a worthwhile, good time. And 3 days away felt like 10 or 12. Which was nice. Got to recharge the batteries a little bit. What's the food, by the way? I was thinking about asking you this, but might as well get to it now. What is the food that you cannot walk past? So like, I get my mind squared on correctly as I'm going to Christmas Day to eat correctly. And then I show up and I see right away the food that I just can't pass on the table. And I just start munching on it. Next thing you know, I'm off the rails again.
Yeah. I mean, our good friend Kerry Bothmer always sends us peanut butter fudge and cookies at Christmas. And you know, my wife's mom makes, you know, everything under the sun. Great side dishes like corn pudding, sweet potato pie, green bean casserole, buttered rolls that are all ready for you. All you just put on your plate. You don't have to do the excess labor of putting the butter on yourself. And just more ham than you can shake a stick at. I mean, I can't even tell you how many pieces of ham I've eaten in the last 2 days.
So any kind of sweets generally I could turn down as long as it's not chocolate chip cookies or brownies. If you bake something, if it's sugar cookie, you know, peanut butter, any kind of like homemade, I put a bunch of stuff in this, I could probably turn it down. Chocolate chip cookies, brownies, two of my things that I just can't. But there are homemade Rice Krispie treats at my wife's aunt's house every year. And I just, however many are on that plate, I'm eating that many. You know what I mean? No one else is touching them because I'm not going to give you a chance to. But they're so good.
I am an absurd cookie consumer and sweets consumer, but the only hope for me not becoming a 400-pounder is that the cookies get a little bit hard, because if they stay soft, I'm eating the whole plate. I'm eating the whole plate.
Can't blame you. But I get the sense you're eating a bunch of different types of cookies.
Everything.
See, the only cookies I'll eat, you know, other than Oreos, but in terms of like something you'd put out on the table at a holiday party, chocolate chip. And that's the one beneficial thing for me, if you talk about saving me, is when the chocolate chip cookies are gone, I have no interest.
Oh, okay.
So, like, FedEx Field at a Redskins game, they put out cookies. There's a handful of chocolate chips, and, you know, if there's 50 cookies, maybe 10 are chocolate chip, there's 40-something else. I'll go over there, chocolate chip is gone, doesn't matter. It's like, might as well be kale to me. I'm not touching it.
Every stadium we play in usually has some sort of cookie display. Some places are better than others. But there, I can usually go to the oatmeal raisin as a backup if I have to, if the chocolate chip cookies are gone. If I'm desperate, maybe a peanut butter cookie. But definitely chocolate chip is the one seed, with oatmeal raisin as the two seed.
Shout out to Guylo, who said he swung through KG on his way to Richmond and stopped at the Wawa. It's a very nice Wawa, by the way. It's a lovely Wawa.
My family is going through King George County as we speak.
Hey, now.
And they targeted the Sheetz just over the bridge
as their
gas stop because it was like 20 cents cheaper than our area.
I won't tell you who. I had a buddy that worked there for many years who there's like a Sheetz hole punch. This was back from about 2005 to 2007, who would punch our Sheetz cards for us. So you had to, you know, get like 10 mm-hmm. punches, you get free sandwiches. He would just punch the 10 and hand us a bunch of cards. So we'd go to that Sheetz and turn in those cards and get free sandwiches.
How great is that?
For a few years. Oh, it was a nice hookup. That was a fun time in my past. But happy holidays to everybody, and thank you for listening, as always. Means a lot. We got a huge show today. Carl Hagelin of the Capitals will be on at 12:45, our weekly appointment with Hags. Hopefully he had a great holiday. Cooking, he told us he was going to do a big feast, so we'll have to ask how many friends and family he had over. But the Caps are actually back in action tonight after their hiatus. They've got a team that has given them fits, the Columbus Blue Jackets. They've lost handily twice to them. In fact, the Capitals have lost three times in their last 14 games, two of those losses to Columbus. So we'll ask him why they struggle so much with these Jackets, who have beaten the Caps now in 5 out of 6. Nick Sundberg is trying to become the Walter Payton Man of the Year in the NFL. And as of the fan vote that I last saw yesterday, he was up to number 2 in the NFL, a long snapper here in Washington. So you guys are doing your part. We'll talk to him about that at 1 o'clock. And one of our favorite college football experts in the country, Paul Stone, will be on the show today to preview tomorrow's doubleheader. Two playoff games, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock tomorrow, the best four teams in college football in action. Do you like the tweak where those games are going to be going on the same day as a lot of other college football, or did you prefer the New Year's Eve slate when that was kind of the only shows in town?
See, I like anything to be the only game in town if I'm playing. I mean, if I'm those players, if I'm the college football playoff and I have any kind of advertising dollars, if I'm the TV network that are affected by ratings points, I want those games to be the only game in town. However, it is a Saturday. So I think in terms of when you think college football,
right,
you think Saturday. So I think in terms of this particular schedule, I think it works out for them because I think the people, I mean, look, it's college football playoff. People are going to tune in. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's big brands. So I think everybody is going to tune in to watch this.
I'm with you. Selfishly, I think I'm going to like this better. For this reason, New Year's Eve was a great idea conceptually, but just specifically for me, I never got to watch the games as intently as I wanted to. There's always family around. There's always friends around. It's fairly selfish to just sit glued to the TV and not talk to anybody, and I'm imagining a lot of people are in the same boat.
Too many other distractions on New Year's Eve. This is why this works out much, much
better. There's a party at your house or you're at someone's party. It's hard to watch those games. You're traveling to a party during that first game. So I'm guessing if I had that issue, a lot of people did, and maybe that's why they made the change. The first game tomorrow kicks off at 4 o'clock of the playoff games. LSU, number 1, Oklahoma, down 3 players via suspension, number 4 in the country. They're at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta for that 4 o'clock kick. LSU's a heavy favorite. I just have a hard time believing Oklahoma's going to hang with Joe Burrow.
Well, Oklahoma can score. LSU's not great defensively, so... As long as the problem, the X factor here is Jalen Hurts. Will he turn the football over or not? Because when he turns the football over, teams stay in games against Oklahoma. When he doesn't, they blow him out. CeeDee Lamb's running wide open through many secondaries. He will test this secondary of LSU, which is loaded with stars. Mr. Stingley, Mr. Delpit, likely, you know, first round talents in the NFL. But can LSU put pressure on Jalen Hurts is going to be the biggest question. What an ironic thing here. You get one game where you got one team that averages 47 points a game. The other team averages 43 points a game there. The other game is two of the stingiest teams in all of college football. So quite the comparison we'll have coming up tomorrow. But to me, Oklahoma stays in the game if they don't turn it over. If they turn it over, LSU wins in a runaway.
Jalen Hurts tomorrow will become the first player to play for two different teams in the college football playoffs. That's going to be one of those Aflac trivia questions like 52 years from now that people are going to bust out at bars. And then your nightcap, and this will be deep into the evening. At 8 o'clock, they'll kick off from State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Ohio State, Clemson, number 2 versus number 3. Clemson, the big question all year long is, are they as good as their record? They don't play anybody. Well, I look at them and I see that they dominate everyone, so I happen to think that they are. But Ohio State will try to prove that the ACC was weak, that the Big Ten is better when they take on the Tigers tomorrow night in Glendale. And we'll get a full preview of those games. But you fast forward to Sunday, and the Redskins play the Cowboys in a game that has lost major steam and major meaning. I was talking to someone last night, and they told me this is the least excited they have ever been for a Redskins game. And I found that interesting. But I don't know that I can completely blame them for these reasons. It's the final week of a lost season. They may end up with the tie for the worst record of my lifetime, 3-13. They don't have Dwayne Haskins, who's kind of the reason everybody was watching. You take that out of the equation, I just said, okay, fine, but Terry McLaurin's had an unbelievable year, and with 7 yards, he's going to break the rookie record for the Redskins in receiving. He's probably not going to play. He's in the concussion protocol. We know there's no Darius Geis. So if you're talking about offensive personnel that excites you, it's Case Keenum throwing to, I guess you're watching for now, Steven Sims and Kelvin Harmon. Now on defense, they're coming off of a treacherous performance. Greg Minuski probably coaching in his final game. Maybe you can get some juice out of the potential of beating Dallas and keeping them out of the playoffs if Philly was to lose to the Giants as well. But this game probably won't mean much because Philly's probably going to beat New York in terms of helping eliminate Dallas. And on top of all of that, do you even want the Redskins to win the game anyway? Because you might be in the mold now where you say they've gotten this far. They could pick second. They're in the Chase Young sweepstakes. You don't want to see them win anyway. I mean, it is reasonable as a Redskins fan to feel like maybe you've never been more invested in the Redskins needing to win than in their game on Sunday in 2 days.
It's Redskins-Dallas week, and I can never remember Redskins-Dallas week meaning absolutely nothing. This is by far the worst Redskins-Dallas week I can ever think of. Plus, you hit it right on the head. If you're a Redskins fan, and Earl and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, if you stay in the number two spot, you have the ability essentially to control the draft coming up in April because Cincinnati's going to take the hometown kid, Joe Burrow, seemingly 98%, and then you control the draft. Depending on what team has a you-know-what for what player, somebody may offer you some tremendous assets to come up to that spot, or you can just spurn them and say, no, we really believe in the player we're going to choose here can be a difference maker for us. So with Burrow seemingly going back home to Cincinnati, the Redskins at number two, Grant, would be in position essentially to control the upper part of the first round of the NFL draft.
Yeah, they would be in that catbird seat where the draft kind of gets started with them. And a lot of teams would want Chase Young, and they could trade up, as you said, to get him, or they could just stay put and potentially add a defensive player of the year in the making, perhaps, if he is as good as advertised. Here's the question for you guys. We'll open up the phones for the first time today on Grant and Danny. 800-636-1067 is the number to use to call in. What makes this Redskins game worth watching for you? If you're going to tune in, why? And is this the least invested, the least excited you've been for a Redskins game? Can you remember a time where you had this little investment? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny, just getting started on The Fan. First day back from your Christmas break, however long it is. You know, you go away for the holidays for a day or two from work, you come back. Generally, it's a staple you wear. Something that you got for Christmas. So today I'm rocking my brand new navy blue Washington Nationals World Series hoodie. And I see that my pal Pete Medhurst also has a Nats World Series hoodie.
Yes, yesterday I wore my brand new UC Irvine hoodie. Today I've got my Nats World Championship gray hoodie.
Why UC Irvine?
I just like hoodies, period. I'm a hoodie guy. I'm like, okay. Bill Belichick. I'm a hoodie guy. You can give me a hoodie. If you got a high school, college, anything out there, you send me a hoodie, I'll wear it. UC Irvine, 1990, I was down doing a basketball tournament at Hampton Sydney University, Division III Player of the Year, Russell Turner, against the Salisbury, at that time, State Seagulls in beautiful Farmville, Virginia. Russell Turner is now the head coach at UC Irvine. So, and we played out there a couple of years ago at Navy, so no Russ, little support for Russ and his program out there at UC Irvine. The Anteaters.
So, but you basically collect whatever you can on the hoodie front.
Absolutely.
You'll rock a hoodie a day, keep the doctor
away. Yeah, got me a nice Wichita State long sleeve t-shirt. Real happy about that.
I think I probably hadn't worn a hoodie until a handful of years ago in my entire life. And now they're just so comfortable. It's perfect.
I was going to say, you missed out for a long time, pal.
I did. But this is great. And I'm sure a lot of people listening right now around town got a lot of Nats gear.
Oh.
I got some really cool Nats keepsakes and trinkets and different things, World Series-wise. It's kind of the theme of my Christmas. It's a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We're going to get into Antonio Brown getting a tryout, a workout at an NFL facility today with one of the teams going to the playoffs. In fact, one of the favorites to come out of its conference for a Super Bowl is working out Antonio Brown. So we'll tell you who and we'll give you the details at the bottom of the hour. But right now we're asking you, what makes Redskins Cowboys Week 17, 2019 worth watching? 800-636-1067. And we just kind of made the case based on a discussion I was having with someone last night. The Redskins have not played a game this meaningless, certainly against Dallas, but big picture, in years and years. Where does this rank among the games that you've cared the least about as a Redskins fan? Here's my question before we get to the phones, though, Pete. In almost every lost season, do we get to this level? You know, in other words, I remember years and years ago when I was a kid, I would go to FedEx Field in December, and there was a game against the Texans, and I don't remember why or how I remember the specifics of this. This particular one stands out among years and years of these. But there was 100 yards rushing for both, I think it was Kenny Watson and Ladell Betts.
Yes.
Kenny Watson from Penn State, if memory serves. Ladell Betts, of course, second-round pick from Iowa. And they both went for 100 yards in that game, and the Redskins won going away. And I remember leaving the stadium that day thinking they were on their way to the Super Bowl when, in fact, they'd gone like 5-11 or something. But why is that year different than this year, in other words, when it comes to you're bad, the game doesn't matter? My only answer rhetorically I can come up with is this is supposed to be watching Dwayne Haskins' evolution, and now you're going back to Keenum, who probably won't be here next year. But is this any different than any other lost season December game?
Yes, because, Grant, this franchise has never been in such a low place, which thus means there are fewer and fewer people that actually care. We know there are diehards that will root for the burgundy and gold no matter what. If the Redskins are playing, they're rooting for the Redskins to win. But that community of diehards is smaller and smaller and smaller. And right now, there's no question, is it smallest than it's ever been before?
True.
And that's why you've got fewer and fewer people that are going to give a darn coming up on Sunday at 4:25 when this game kicks off. It's going to be like, oh, if they win, oh, yeah, that's great. But if not, you know what they will? If they do win on Monday morning, they will be able to go to the water cooler and get in Cowboy fans' face and say, hey, ha-ha, we beat you on one of our worst seasons ever, and we beat you, you know? But other than that, that's really all there is for the Redskin fan this weekend, is to say you beat Dallas and give it to your Dallas Cowboy fan who you know is ready to just dog you at the water cooler Monday morning.
A lot of those other years, too, that I think of now that I kind of think to the question I asked, you still had the head coach in place who may or may not lose his job. So in some way, that Week 16, Week 17 game that you were playing was going to be an endorsement or an indictment of that coach and would in some way influence the decision on what was going to happen with him, with that staff, maybe with the front office. We already know that the head coach is out, Jay Gruden. He's been fired for a while. It doesn't really seem like Bill Callahan is all that viable or legitimate a head coaching candidate. He'll get an interview, but he's certainly not a favorite. It's not particularly likely that he comes back. So you've got essentially a cast of characters coaching this team, most of whom won't be here. Some will be. Guys like Kevin O'Connell might stick around depending on who they hire.
And credit to that group who's done a very professional job.
Absolutely.
In a very adverse situation. And the only reason you know they've done a professional job is look at the progress of the wide receivers, Dwayne Haskins. Those guys have made progress. And that speaks to the professionalism of the men that are actually still coaching on this team. And I know everybody says, well, they're being paid well and they're going to be professional. No, some dudes do check out, both players and coaches in these situations. And these coaches have not done that.
And not only that, Pete, but a lot of times the locker room fractures.
Oh, yeah.
No guys, when you talk about checking out, that they don't care. It's a substitute teacher telling you what to do. You're not going to be as respectful to the sub who's
just there for a couple
of minutes. But there's been a respect for Bill Callahan, and I think he deserves and warrants that from his career that he's had. And even though he and I philosophically, you know, we don't necessarily see offense the same way, I give him a lot of credit for the job he's done here. They've been very competitive. Let's go to Dan in Fairfax on G&D. How you feeling about Week 17 and this game against Dallas?
Grant, it's great to have you back. I hope you had a Merry Christmas.
You too, pal.
Pete did a good job while you were away, but I always feel like something's missing when you're not there.
Well, Pete, I knew Pete would. He's a steady Eddie, as they say.
There is something missing. Grant's not here.
Yeah, you know me. I just love the Skins, so I think it's going to be I'll be emotionally invested, but I just hope it's a competitive game. I think Dallas will win. It'll be a hard-fought game. I know we need the draft picks. I'm hoping we get Chase Young, but I think it'll be a good game. I'm anxious to see it. I always love the Redskins. So
yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you, buddy. If the Cowboys needing this game desperately at home in the final week of the season can't beat a Redskins team going to their backup quarterback without their best and really only legit weapon at wide receiver in a lost year while the Redskins have tee times lined up and flights and vacations booked a month ago. Shame on them. Not only do you not deserve to be in the playoffs, but you got bigger issues than just Jason Garrett. Collins and Clinton on the Fan. Hey, Colin, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big Redskins fan. I took a few years off and maybe fell for the increased hype with Dwayne Haskins and a little upset maybe with all that bubble bursting, but it's really important that the Cowboys lose. That's probably my biggest thing. And I just also think it's important that the Redskins win. I think as a football fan, winners win and losers lose. So winning develops the players that are on our team right now. It improves them. If we lose this game, it improves our draft pick position, but that more or less improves the players that we don't have. We're going to have some improved lot of players coming in. I think it's important to win now so that the players on our team get better and feel better about their development. And then finally, I just wanted to add that it's going to be really hard to find a good GM if our owner insists on making first-round draft picks.
Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, that goes without saying, and I don't know that that's going to stop anytime soon. But when Dan gets you in the room to talk to you about a vacancy, an opportunity, whether it's for the head coach or GM position, as we've seen, he's persuasive. He brings his checkbook. He says the right things. You know, everyone that sits down or gets to know him at all, from Joe Gibbs all the way down, has nothing but good things to say about how helpful he is to them and how supportive he is. And
gives you the resources you need.
Absolutely. So I don't worry necessarily about him in the first round taking over the draft as it pertains to hiring a GM, because he'll tell them in the moment, yeah, I won't do that. And then they just got to deal with it like everyone else has after they come here, and it's going to happen because we know that it will. I disagree a little bit with his take, though, that you need to win this game to help with the development of the players. We can get into that next because I do want to respond to that. If you've got a thought on Redskins-Cowboys here in Week 17, 800-636-1067. We'll squeeze in a couple more calls. Plus, let's pivot to Antonio Brown, who's getting a tryout. An actual formal NFL workout for Brown after all the crazy things he said and done on social media over the last couple of months. Wow, that's next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, no Danny today. Pete Medhurst hanging out with me on The Fan. Football Friday presented by Sportsbook, Hollywood Casino, Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. What was the best present your daughter got or enjoyed the most? What was the thing that you had the most fun watching her open?
Probably her Chromebook.
Ooh, okay.
She enjoyed that. And second was, as I explained yesterday, she got a hitting net. So now when I pitch her batting practice, I can do soft toss off my bucket. And when I go to retrieve the balls, they're a foot and a half in front of me, as opposed to going down to the field and pitching to her where they're sprayed all over the field. And
you,
I
got
to walk all
over
the field. I just sit on the bucket.
Toss.
Soft toss. Boom. She crushes them into the net. Bang, bang. And more importantly, when she's pitching to me, the balls that are a little low and outside hit the net instead of going 60 feet behind me to the woods or something at our house. So that net is the greatest gift of the Christmas season.
Eagles back to work today as they try to win the NFC East after beating Dallas this past weekend. Good news for Philly. Tight end Zach Ertz with the ribs and back injury that he suffered. He played through a broken rib. Is back at practice today, resuming normal workload activity. So he should be able to play this weekend as they try to beat the Giants and win the NFC East. I still cannot believe
unsung
that Dallas
hero
looked the way that they did in that game.
Unsung hero for the Eagles last week, by the way, Dallas Goedert.
He was unbelievable.
Who's virtually, I mean, he's not maybe quite Zach Ertz yet, but he isn't far away because
he's been a huge disappointment. But
right.
I think part of that is that whole offense goes through
Ertz.
And so maybe like having a center and a big man, you know, four or something in the block, there's just only one basketball to go around.
9 for 91 and a score last week for Goedert just came up huge. And I mean, look,
he made that big diving catch at FedEx, remember?
Yep.
In the game against the Redskins where Philly came back and won. If not for a pretty acrobatic and athletic, almost full extension catch he made from Carson Wentz on a big drive in the fourth quarter, they may lose that game too.
It's amazing to me, and I say this at 5 a.m. on Monday mornings on Washington Football Wake Up, and my man Clever Nate always tweets at me, big Cowboys fan. I truly believe the Dallas Cowboys are the most talented team in the division. I think they're one of the most talented teams at the right positions in the entire National Football League. I cannot for – usually you can figure out why a team looks the way they do. I cannot put my finger on what the hell is wrong with the Dallas Cowboys and their lack of execution with the talent that they have offensively.
It's crazy.
It's mind-boggling to me.
So, number one, and they're going to blow out Jason Garrett, but I don't think their coaching staff is all that good. I think that's a big issue in terms of maximizing their potential. Garrett, by the way, will last 60 seconds after the season ends. He's going to find out from Jerry Jones that he is done if they don't make the playoffs. If they do, I think he's still out unless they win multiple playoff games. I think they could get even to the NFC Championship game and he might still be fired. But if they do not beat the Redskins on Sunday and or they do and the Eagles also win and so they do not make the playoffs based on the Philly win this past week, Jason Garrett's gone within 5 minutes as far as I'm concerned. I'd be shocked if that didn't happen. So that's part of it. They're also built through the running game. You know, they make the explosive plays in the passing game, but they've missed on too many of those. Dak Prescott, the second half of the season, has not been nearly as good as he was in the first. And their defense is super banged up. They're fast. They got great linebackers. But those guys, including Vander Esch, have missed games, and that takes its toll. But you're right. They should be at least 2, 3, maybe even 4 games better this year than they were based on talent.
Any chance the Giants beat the Eagles?
Yeah, there's a chance, but I would say if those two teams played 10 times, Philly's going to win 7. The reason being they just need the game more. A, they're more talented and they're better, but the Eagles are more ripe to be taken. Like the Cowboys should beat the Redskins by more points than the Eagles beat the Giants by, for the reason that Dallas is much healthier. Even with some of those issues on defense.
There's no question they got more weapons.
Absolutely. The Redskins shouldn't be able to keep up that offense.
It's even more unreal that Wentz was able to do what he did last week with his two tight ends and basically Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders has broken out to the verge of stardom. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who pretty much only does things in the red zone, has not had a great rookie year coming out of Stanford after the huge college
career. No question.
However, their number one receiver right now is a quarterback in college.
Greg Ward, I watched him at Houston.
Yeah.
Amazing game here in Annapolis. Navy won 46-40 against Houston. I watched him put on a show.
I can't believe Wentz isn't getting more credit for what he's doing with that receiving group. When people are like, oh, Carson Wentz is down. He just threw for 313 and 2 every
and that's
week
what, you know, I said
with
that
these
Monday,
receivers.
I thought that was the thing that everybody was going to talk about how Dallas's performance was down, but I think the one thing that was going to get lost in the shuffle was how important I thought Carson Wentz's performance for Philadelphia, even going forward,
yeah,
for him as the quarterback. I thought that was one of his best performances under that kind of duress against that kind of an opponent with those stakes.
We'll go back to the Skins game the week before that. It was excellent. Same thing, by the way. throwing to Ward and tight ends. Yep. Basically was the whole game. Pat in Mechanicsville, Skins Cowboys on Sunday. As a Redskins fan, no Haskins, probably no McLaurin. How interested are you?
Not very interested. Only thing is, y'all guys are going to be very busy Monday when they announce everybody's fired, and Urban Meyer will be the coach and GM. And what happens if Dallas and Philadelphia both lose? Does Philly still go?
Yes. If both teams lose, Philly wins the division, although they should just have neither go, and they should have a raffle for another team from another division. I don't think Urban Meyer is going to be named the head coach on Monday. That's not really how it works. I'll apologize to the people that are deserving of that apology come Monday. But you normally don't fire an entire staff immediately and hire the new head coach on the same day. That would be pretty unprecedented. So I'm not buying that. Sean in Woodbridge, you were on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Grant?
Not much, man.
Hey, I believe I'm interested in seeing how the young guys play in this game Sunday. But also, I'm just sick and tired of hearing a lot of the Redskins fans talking about we have to win this game. It's a must win. I mean, one being 3-13 and 4-12 is not going to be that big much of a difference for next year, for the simple fact you're going to have a new coaching staff, new philosophy, new players. And I really want Chase Young. He's a generational type player and something that the Redskins definitely need, which is a dominant pass rusher.
Sean, you hit it on the head. I mean, first of all, look, if you want to tell me they should trade down, cool, fine. I can debate that with you, but it's a very reasonable stance, and I'm not going to yell at you or argue with you, right? However, if Chase Young is who the experts say he is, and I've texted with a couple of people that are influential in draft rooms around the NFL in the last week, and all they do is glow and completely scream about how good this guy is going to be. If he's got a chance to be J.J. Watt or Aaron Donald impactful to win a Defensive Player of the Year award, you got to do that. You haven't had a first-team All-Pro since a punter in 1996. You need great players. They don't have them here. They've got some okay players. They've got some good players. Occasionally, they've had guys who have had really good seasons. Ryan Kerrigan, Landon Collins might be capable of that, Trent Williams. But you haven't had a guy who is the best player in the league at his position in 23 years. And the last time it happened, it was a punter on special teams. So I'm with you on Chase Young. I also, Pete, I agree with his take. I don't do the you've got to learn to win by winning this meaningless Week 17 game and somehow that benefits you in September when a third of the roster will be overturned. The coaching staff's going to be different. The schemes that you're running and the offense and the defense could be different. I don't think there's any carryover into next season from Sunday. I just don't.
No, because every year I think a team wins in its within its own self, within its own locker room. A team develops its own character each and every season. And look, even with all the Alabama guys they got, they know what the hell they're doing. They know how to win football games. So it's not like a ton of these guys have never won before in their life. But each year, each team takes on its own face in developing how to win in their own way based on the 45. There are 46 that they send out there every Sunday and the 53 overall that practice each week.
He's Pete. I'm Grant. You're listening to G&D on the Fan. The New Orleans Saints are working out Antonio Brown today. Are they actually going to sign him? And how helpful would he be if they did? It's a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Nick Sundberg is hoping to be the Walter Payton Man of the Year. He's on the show today at 1, and we've got your preview of tomorrow's massive college football playoff games coming your way today at 1:30 with Paul Stone, who's one of our favorite college football experts. We'll get back to the Skins calls about their Week 17 game with the Cowboys in just a second. But how about this news this morning? And this was jarring when I first saw this. I was pretty shocked by this. Antonio Brown is getting a workout after all of the turmoil with the Raiders. Then he went to New England, got in trouble again. Patriots said no thank you and booted him to the curb, even though you've seen how badly they could have used a weapon and they decided the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. Their offense has been abysmal for much of this year, lacking playmakers, and yet they still didn't pick the phone back up to call him. Antonio Brown has been turbulent and volatile on social media. You know, one minute he says he wants to get back into the league and he's sorry, and the next minute he's screaming about how the league doesn't deserve him and can't hold him back and all these different things. He's getting a workout with the New Orleans Saints today. He posted this to social media. It's basically an image of the waiver that he had to sign to take the field that I guess every NFL team makes free agent players in their facility sign so that if they get hurt, they're not liable for whatever happened. But according to Adam Schefter, the Saints are, quote, just doing due diligence on the wide receiver, end quote. I don't really know what that means. I mean, if he goes and has a great workout, would they sign him? Do they need him? This is one of the best teams in football, one of the great offenses in the sport. Drew Brees has a wideout, Pete, and Michael Thomas, who just broke the record for catches in an NFL season, he's going to catch 150 balls this year.
But teams are now in the playoffs going to say, hey, we're going to shade coverage to do whatever we can to make sure Michael Thomas doesn't beat us. Now the Saints are doing the due diligence to put somebody over on the other side, which if Antonio Brown is even 85% of Antonio Brown, he becomes a viable option over on the other side, which makes the Saints and Drew Brees that much more dangerous. I also believe it's the Saints recognizing, hey, as constructed right now, we're not sure we can really overcome these other teams that we've got to beat in the NFC. We're going to have to win multiple games against multiple good teams to get to the Super Bowl. And if you get Antonio Brown at even 85% of who he is, you've improved your football team greatly. It's at least worth a look. It's only going to cost you $30,000 if you sign him. So why not?
So the Saints, to your point, have one wide receiver who matters, and that's Thomas.
That's my point.
I think if you were to poll people, even plugged-in, smart NFL fans, on who number two is in receptions among wide receivers for that team, they'd have a hard time coming up with a name. Michael Thomas, with 145 catches, is number one on the Saints. Second is running back Alvin Kamara.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Third is tight end Jared Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, you'd go, well, that's got to be a wide receiver.
No.
It's another running back, Latavius Murray. You go down to the fifth spot in catches at 29 grabs and Ted Ginn, second on the team. Then it's another tight end and Josh Hill with 22. Then it's another do-everything kind of running back slash H-back, whatever they call Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. I don't know what position they would even list him as, athlete maybe. Tre'Quan Smith all the way down as the number eight guy in the organization is the next wideout at 13.
This is a stroke of genius for Antonio Brown if he sticks, because think about this, Grant. If he goes out and has an impact in the postseason somehow with them, makes even one touchdown catch that makes a difference in one of the games, he's now positioned himself for 2020 in a much better light because someone like Sean Payton took a chance on him, brought him in with a guy like Drew Brees to a club that's got championship-level aspiration. So for Antonio Brown, this is well worth positioning yourself for 2020 by going to something like this. I think he's going to probably look okay. It's just a matter of whether the Saints, when they get down to brass tacks, want to feel comfortable enough signing him to a contract. Because here's the thing. He could really, really help you, but he could also be a massive disruption coming up in just 1 week's time and derail your entire playoff hope.
Well, so that's my big question is how badly do you think you need him and what role are you bringing him in for? If you're just working him out today because Michael Thomas isn't 100%, which he's not. He's been limited in practice this week with a hand injury. There are people telling Schefter and the ESPN.com writer for the Saints that are suggesting his ailment is not significant, that Brown's visit is not related to Thomas's status. But if you're just bringing him in because you need to sign someone as a quote-unquote camp body who might be active on Sunday for a game, probably won't have a role come the playoffs, then you should sign one of the other guys you're working out, yeah. Like former Redskin, by the way, Maurice Harris, who's there today. To me, that makes more sense because you don't have to deal with interview requests and distractions. You got too many things going on. You're too good of a team. But if you're bringing him in because you're saying, to your point, well, if everyone starts doubling Michael Thomas in the playoffs, we could get exposed because we don't have anybody who could beat man coverage. Well, Antonio Brown at 31 years old can still do that. If you're looking for an X factor and someone who changes the way teams can defend Michael Thomas, all due respect to Maurice Harris, he's not that guy. Antonio Brown would be. I think it's bad for the league if he gets a job just because he's acted like such a clown and such a fool, and he is now wronged, if you will, and I'll use air quotes when I say that, multiple organizations. I get that it's not the Saints' problem, or it's not up to New Orleans to get the back of the Raiders or the Patriots. But I think when teams, this will probably go over poorly, but the analogy works, make a deal with the devil. He's not the worst guy in the world, but my point is, when you make a deal with a guy that's acted like a bad apple because you need help and it's about you winning a championship, it can be good for you but bad for the sport. I think this would be really bad for the sport if he gets to play in the postseason and contribute, and lo and behold, let's say, makes a few plays and goes and wins a Super Bowl, and we're seeing him up on the stage screaming into a microphone after all of this and everything that he's done. I think that would be a really, really bad thing for the NFL because it might give other players the idea that it's okay to act like he acted. It'll work out as long as you're talented enough.
Look, I mean, as a person who rooted for rule-breaking wrestlers like the Iron Sheik and those guys when I was a young kid, I think this is fine to take a look at it if he's got something left on the field, if you're the Saints. And look, all we talk about is winning. Did you win at the end of the season? The Saints are in a loaded NFC. You need as many weapons as you possibly can. And as we've seen, the track record is undeniable. It's an absolute 50-50 crapshoot whether he's going to help you or hurt you. But if you're Sean Payton, you got to sit across the table from Antonio Brown if he looks good in the workout. And this is where also Saints PR is going to have to do a great job with this, Grant. I think it's one of those cases where Antonio Brown talks one time, available in the locker room after games only, if he's with the team during the postseason. I think Saints PR is going to have to be very strong in a situation like this when you have a player of this caliber. You got to let him talk one time. You got to let him talk one time if they sign him. But after that, only available in the locker room after games. That way you lessen the amount of distractions you talk about, because you talk about a guy like that's going to get massive amounts of interview requests just because of what his track record has been.
I think he probably would have to do like one session a week, but you just, like you said, you do a group session Wednesday or Thursday.
Right, 10
and then
minutes.
Then you have him talk Sunday
done.
Right after the game.
No doubt.
Should the Saints sign Antonio Brown, how helpful do you think he'd be in their quest to win a championship? Do they need him? I mean, is that team good enough right now to win the title without him? 800-636-1067 is the number. You can also tweet us. I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
I'm at Pete Medhurst.
You are listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.